Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Spark London.
We tell true stories.
We tell them live.
And we tell them every month at the Canal Cafe Theatre.
This story was performed by Rachel Mars in September 2010.
Where the theme was crossing the line.
It was 2006 and I was 26 and I'd had to go back to living with my parents again. And I was having a shower and my mum put her head around the door. There are sort of privacy issues in my family, but I think that's probably another story. And she said, "Darling, are you going a bit the other way?" And the reason that she'd asked me this is because that year, when I was 26, I'd finally sort of committed to doing a dream that I really wanted to fulfil, which was living in New York. And I'd gone for 3 months to be a theatre intern in Brooklyn. And I'd left my boyfriend of 6 years, I'd waved goodbye at Heathrow, and he was going to find a flat for us to move into together when we got back. And I really, really loved New York. It lived up to everything I was hoping to be. It's very fast. People are very rude to you, but it's kind of funny somehow. Everyone seems Jewish. Even the not Jews seem a little bit Jewish, which is kind of a relief when you look like this. And I think, I knew I was going to find something about myself there. And I thought that maybe that's what it would be. It would be kind of this refining of a Jewishness that I'd somehow lost a little bit. And also, I love the fact that this British accent still has a kind of currency there, and people find it totally charming still. So you can just say, kind of, "Excuse me," and people will immediately start talking to you, and it doesn't matter that you're both naked in a kind of gym changing rooms, and you don't really want to talk to anyone, let alone kind of get into a conversation about the special relationship between Bush and Blair. You just want to put your pants on. They don't seem to care, and actually that was really refreshing. So I was manning the doors of a theatre show on the Upper West Side, and a woman came up to me with loads of bags, and she said, "I really want to see the show, but there's nowhere for me to store them. Can you look after them for me?" And I looked at her and I thought, "You don't look like anything worrisome in the bag, so of course." And my "of course" kind of outed me as English. And we got talking, and it turned out that she was playing in a band, and she gave me a flyer. And it was a kind of gypsy klezmer band, and they were playing a gig the next night. And I thought, this is perfect. This is like totally why I've come to New York, to see this kind of culture. So the next night, I went downtown to the Lower East Side to this tiny bar to go and see her band. And I walked in, and the audience was all female. And a lot of them kind of had a similar style going on. They were like short hair and like tattoos. And a lot of them had girlfriends. And I looked again, and the name of the band was the Isle of Klezbos. And I went, "Oh, okay, this is where I am, fine." So the gig was great, and then afterwards I talked to her, the musician who'd invited me, and we exchanged contact details. And then the next day, this kind of series of very fizzy emails started, and lots of play with language. It was very exciting. And I still had 2 months to go of my 3 months in New York at that point. And she said, "I can show you around the city." And I thought, "Well, brilliant. She's, you know, engaging, and she knows the city really well." So sort of started then our series of kind of not dates. So there was, first of all, we did the movies and then a meal, not date. And then we did an all-night cabaret, not date. And then we did a kind of a picnic and boating on Central Park, not date. And at that point, a little 5% of me thought, "I wonder if she's interested in me." And then I thought, "Like, don't be ridiculous. That's totally presumptuous and kind of strangely homophobic that, like, just because you're a girl and she's gay, she's interested in you." So I kind of got rid of that. How could they be dates? Because I was straight and I had this boyfriend of 6 years and we were going to move in and do London happy couple thing. So there, you know, I put that out of my mind. what was also happening to me around about that time is that I got kind of serious gastroenteritis. And I would just find myself having to rush to the toilet without warning. And I went to toilets all over the city. So I went in Macy's is a good one. And in Bloomingdale's, I went in the second floor and also in the fourth floor. And Duane Reade, the pharmacy, are really mean and they won't let you use the toilet unless you work there. And it doesn't matter if you look really pained and you're buying like drugs for it, they still won't let you use it. And Zabar's Deli, they will let you use it, but you have to be a customer. So I bought some cheesecake, which was actually like a really big mistake. And I found myself finally on a Brooklyn street corner pouring salt into a bottle of 7-Up as a kind of homemade curative, trying to think, like, what have I eaten? What's the culprit? And I couldn't really come up with anything. So it was 3 days before I was due to fly home to London, and it was the date of our final not date, which was opera and then meal, not date. And on that day of that not date, I went and had my bikini line waxed. And I also packed a toothbrush. And sort of looking back, I find it amazing sort of how able I was to just completely delude myself. And so this kind of opera and then a meal not date turned into like opera and then a meal and then the bar not date. And then opera and then a meal and then the bar. And then there's this great place I know just near my apartment. It does fantastic dessert not date. And then they're like, come up and see my apartment not date. And then they're like, you can stay over, nothing needs to happen. Like here, wear this Mickey Mouse t-shirt not date. So like I'm in the Mickey Mouse t-shirt in bed with this woman thinking, kind of interesting. And then somehow it, from that point on, it was definitely a date. I kind of realized at that point that this kind of gastroenteritis thing was not to do with food. And if I was honest with myself, actually every time I had thought about this woman and like the possibility of touching her, I would just have to run to the loo. And it was like this kind of the kind of contemplation of an action combined with like an immediate burial of that action meant that it was kind of going down into me and I'd have to like flush it. And it was also, I think, a warning of that I was about to kind of do something really, really wrong and totally right. And that I was kind of going to cross this line of fidelity, but also I was going to cross a kind of much bigger sort of seismic schism of sexuality. And it was very worrisome and very exciting at the same time. So 3 days passed and I was on the plane back to London, and on the toilets on the plane I noticed that I had a hickey because it was like really classy of me. And I landed and I took my boyfriend to a pub in Ealing and I pushed the printout from the estate agents to one side of the table and I explained what happened and I said that it was over. And he was obviously completely devastated. Although we sort of managed to be friends, and he reminded me that on our first date he did ask me if I was gay. And I said no, because I was sure I was straight. And even kind of after that experience in New York, I went back 6 months later kind of pursuing this queer love with this woman. And that didn't work out. Even then I was kind of sure that I was, you know, straight as a phase, and the kind of fascination I'd had with androgynous women was always this part of straight tomboy identity, and I'd grown out of it. And then, you know, we're now in 2010 and I've not gone out with another boy since. And I'm still like, now I think, okay, you're not straight. I was telling this story to a friend of mine about 6 months after this New York thing had happened. And I said, you know, it's funny, I've just had this memory come back to me of being 12 years old and being in my parents' toilet with a copy of Just 17, which is very exciting because I was 12 and therefore 5 years below kind of Just 17 of the title. And I turned a page and there was this double page black and white spread, advert spread. And she said, oh, the one for the Terence Higgins Trust. And I said, yeah, that one. And she said, the one with the naked male torso on this side of the page and the female naked torso on this side of the page. And I said, yeah, that one. And she said, I think it said, whichever one of these you find most attractive, use precautions. And I said, yeah, that one. And she said, I bet you looked at it and you thought, I don't know. I don't know which one of these I find more attractive. And I said, yeah. Yeah, I really remember being 12 years old and running my finger down the center line of that magazine and absolutely not knowing. So anyway, I turned the shower off and I looked at my mum and I said, yeah, I think I am going a bit the other way. And also, I think we need to have a conversation about you knocking.
For more stories or to take part in next month's show, head to sparklondon.com.
Spark London is produced by Joanna Yates. Audio production by Matt Hill at rethinkdaily.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.